Hey guys, thanks for listening. If you'd like to support us, go to patreon.com/frightday.
All right. It is Fright Day. This is episode 64. I'm your host, Byron. We all know the graveyard shift can be hell, especially if you find yourself at its literal gate, like five Turkish cops did in tonight's featured film, Baskin. And if you thought the noises Kelly makes on a regular basis are annoying, you're in for a treat. We're talking the Forest Grove mystery noises in this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Yes!
I'm joined tonight by Kelly.
Yes!
And Sam.
Hey, guys. So it's been a week since we talked about Green Room.
Yeah, it has. Far too long.
Yeah, well.
Kelly's so not excited.
Nope, not so much.
The folks responsible for Green Room have started a punk rock radio show to promote the movie.
And what does that entail? What does that mean?
Basically, Green Room Radio will feature music and interviews relating to the hardcore scene that should appeal to old school fans and posers alike. Tony Rettman is the host, who wrote NYHC, New York Hardcore 1980 through 1990, which is like the definitive guide to hardcore music.
Have we even talked about the synopsis of Green Room?
I don't know. Have we?
I don't know. Basically, it's about a punk rock band that finds themselves at a skinhead venue and they see something that they shouldn't see. And then they have to get out of it.
Yeah. Nazi
so
skinheads.
Bored by it. Kelly, I thought you were a Blue Ruin fan.
Yeah.
You're going to love Green Room. Everyone's going to love Green
Room. I'm sure it'll be fine.
And everyone's going to be tuning into the, what's it called exactly?
Green Room Radio. Feature plenty of music from the likes of Born Against, Straight Ahead, and SSD Control.
Now, Sam, I don't know any of those bands.
Nor do I.
But it sounds like something that you would like.
I am familiar with SSD.
Something that could be considered one of Sam's jams.
Oh, is that where you were going with that? Great.
Yes.
Fantastic.
I just like playing the Sam's Jams music.
Who doesn't like playing that?
Speaking of Sam's Jams, those folks who have helped us out on Patreon now have access to your playlist, right?
They sure
right
do.
And correct at the same time.
Right.
Correct.
Curated with love. And my plan is just to try to add 10 or 15 songs to it every month. So
awesome.
There's always something new on there. I recommend listening to it on shuffle. It's eclectic.
You went from some sort of Swedish hardcore to 1950s...
Discipline to Wanda Jackson.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
It was nice.
Sam's got some eclectic jams.
Patreon.com/Fright Day. And Kelly, big week for you.
Big week.
The first episode of Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies came out.
It brings me so much joy to hear you say Captain Kelly.
Help. It's what it's called.
Best.
It makes me feel like I just ate a sack of lead shot.
Oh, it's so great.
And we covered the Malaysian Air Flight 370.
We did.
The disappearance and possible theories. I don't think we've mentioned that in any prior episode.
Oh, yeah. That's
true. It's been
true.
Top secret up until
now. It has
now.
Been top secret. Now it's out of the bag.
Yep. So you can check that out, too. All you need to do is donate as little as $1 a month to have access to that.
It's true.
And as much as I hate to say it, it's been getting some great feedback.
Yeah.
Aw. Thanks for half of that comment, Sam.
You're welcome for a third of it.
Okay. I don't think that makes sense.
Now that you've emptied out your brain of disappearing airline flights, did you have any time to watch films this week?
I did.
What'd you watch?
So interestingly enough, I tried to get Sam to watch Freaks of Nature because I decided it looked hilarious.
It actually looks all right.
I think it looks really funny, but he didn't know what it was. So when I presented him a text list of options for movies for us to watch last night, he didn't pick it. He picked Sinister 2 instead. And I think he liked it more than I did. It was fine. It's not like it was a horrible movie. I just felt like the acting was bad. And I thought Bagul was much scarier before he was like a dude walking around.
You don't like Sossaman's southern accent that comes and goes?
It's not
she
great.
She definitely sounds like she's got something stuck in her teeth.
Yeah.
It's not great. And who wasn't happy when the asshole dad got his comeuppance?
I know that I talked about this probably 20 episodes ago. When the dad shows up,
with the fake asshole cop the first time.
Yeah, he's intense. There's this, like this really effective domestic abuse feeling.
It was. But that's not what the movie was about, unfortunately.
Well, but that's kind of what it was about.
I think that storyline was more compelling than the Bagul storyline. But unfortunately, the reason I sat down to watch last night was for the Bagul storyline. And it really didn't do much for me.
Yeah, that part is kind of weak. But the finale's fun. You got bagheads.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. I'm sorry you didn't like it as much.
It was fine. No, it wasn't bad. It was fine. Did watch the end of X-Files.
I have not.
It was awesome.
Okay.
I disagree with every negative comment that anybody said about this season of X-Files. I thought it was stellar. And more importantly, it sounds like there's definitely going to be another season, which brings me just unending joy.
So they're definitely mentioning the possibility of a movie as well if they don't get the show. But come on now. They're definitely getting another season.
Yeah, I got ratings high enough to get another season.
So what was the worst episode this season? Trash Man?
No, I like Trash Man.
I liked it because Tim Armstrong.
You would.
I don't know that I would say there's a worst episode. I didn't think any of them were bad. I loved all of them.
I've seen four. I haven't seen five or six yet.
Catch up.
Okay, I will. I mean, it's not like I'm not going to watch it. It's just I'm kind of savoring it. I don't want it to be over quite yet.
I know. I was kind of sad about that myself.
It's a short season. That's like the shortest.
Six is quick.
Season.
I'm hoping that with these ratings, that means that next season we're actually going to get like a full 12 or something.
Fox has got to have some money somewhere.
Turn out the couch cushions. And...
Sam, what else did we watch? I feel like we watched something else.
What was your opinion on Sinister 2?
Honestly, for me, it's all about the kill films.
And you didn't think some of them were over the top?
I really enjoyed the kill films.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. It's like a weird student film festival.
So disturbing that you enjoyed
them. Hey, some of them are really good.
In a really bleak way.
I don't like the setup, though, for that. How they, like, this is my tape.
The other thing I really appreciate is Scott Derrickson, who created the first Sinister and wrote this one, or Sinister 2, is another example of a horror creator going mainstream with Doctor Strange.
He is directing the Marvel film Doctor Strange.
Yeah, like James Gunn and Guardians.
It's kind of incredible.
Yeah.
Kind of like the director of Jurassic World. He did that Duplass movie that I really like, Safety Not Guaranteed. Aubrey Plaza, Jake Johnson. Oh, that's why Jake Johnson's probably in Jurassic World.
Fun. I really did like Safety Not Guaranteed. I thought that was fantastic.
Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah, it's great seeing the indies step up to the plate for these major, major movies.
You know, it feels like somebody from your hometown making it big.
Did you watch anything else, Sam?
Yeah, we did. So Fright Day supported a Kickstarter last month called The Beast of Boggy Creek.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
Documentary, like a production company called Small Town Monsters is collaborating with Lyle Blackburn, who...
We talked to, I don't know what episode that was.
Geez, that was a ways. But he's a noted cryptozoologist. And
super great guy.
Kelly's...
Yeah, we're colleagues.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh.
As part of the Kickstarter that we supported for the making of this documentary, we got their previous film as a reward, which was called The Beast of Whitehall.
And it looks like for anyone who's interested, that was episode 29. Lyle Blackburn talked to us for a little bit.
You should be. That was a really fun interview.
Yeah. We got to interview another person in that field at some point, guys. It's time for us to...
Well, maybe that'll be the next episode of Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
That would be so kick-ass.
Yeah. Sam, how was this movie?
It was thoroughly entertaining. The premise is August 1976, three teens driving on an isolated stretch of road somewhere in the Adirondacks of upstate New York have a brush with a bizarre creature. Standing over 7 feet tall and covered with hair, they referred to it as a beast. Hours later, Hebert Road was crawling with local and state police. What made it so unique was all of these police saw the monster. It was a really well-done documentary, great production values, no reenactments, which I really appreciated.
Oh,
it was just...
the worst when they're there.
Yeah.
Some still illustrations that they used to highlight important events, which I thought was really well done. It was just a fun documentary. It was not in-your-face, over-the-top, History Channel Monster Hunters, like, bullshit.
Kelly, do you watch those shows?
Some of them, yes.
I don't understand why anyone watches them. If
they're super entertaining.
Yeah, but if they never catch anything, they never see anything.
Well,
and if they did, it would be on the news.
They do see things sometimes. They don't catch them.
But they head home with the knowledge that somewhere out there, the beast is still lurking.
I just don't get it.
I mean, I believe it.
But I can get behind this kind of thing.
Yeah, it was. It was kind of quiet in tone. It was really enjoyable. And it was only about 40 minutes long, I believe. Definitely worth the watch, and it's $10 at smalltownmonsters.com right now.
And it's part of a series, right?
Yeah. The first one is The Minerva Monster, and then The Beast of Whitehall, and the next film is going to be The Beast of Boggy Creek.
BC.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
What's the website?
Smalltownmonsters.com.
Great. Well, I'd watched a couple things as well.
Would you watch,
I'm
going to
hop
Byron?
In on this party. I saw a movie called Girl in the Photographs, which we do have a review for this coming out soon. It's not up quite yet because
we're
still in embargo. But
Tell me about it.
Okay, I'm getting there. It's directed by a guy named Nick Simon. Does that sound familiar at all?
Typically people with two first names.
Uh-huh.
I'm a little bit concerned about.
He was one of the dozens of writers on one of my favorite films from last year called The Pyramid.
Oh.
Oh no.
That independent gem.
Yeah. He also directed a film called Removal, which I'm not going to talk about, but I am going to read the quick synopsis because I thought it was very entertaining. Gothic horror meets industrial strength cleaning products in this spine tingler about a pill-popping cleaning service employee in a sprawling mansion with secrets of its own.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like...
Now... Onto the actual synopsis for this film, Girl in the Photographs. I'm going to read the synopsis they provided because it's also pretty fun. A killer sends a young woman photographs of his victims, which draws the attention of an arrogant celebrity photographer played by Cal Penn from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
I prefer from House if we're going to really talk.
The Shutterbug and his entourage head to the woman's small town to get closer to the mayhem in this offbeat horror flick. I don't know if that's official or if it was written by someone. Whoever wrote that.
Jesus, I love offbeat.
Pretty fantastic. This movie, kind of fun.
Really?
Yeah, it's very silly and a little bit stupid, but overall, Kelly, are you asleep?
Mm-hmm.
Eyes closed. Okay.
So you can just talk to me, Byron.
Sure.
It's okay.
Twist this way.
I'm listening. You just have a very calming presence,
that's
Byron.
That's false. My voice is almost like the sounds we're going to hear later in this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptic Conspiracy.
Ah!
It's got a very late 90s slasher vibe. Definitely always gets me in the chest.
I like it.
Gets me in the chest. It's where I began. And is that, I wrote this question down. Is that considered second wave slasher, or is there a wave in between?
What's a
wave?
I don't know.
Because like the original stuff.
Gotta be three waves in.
You think we're a third wave slasher?
Well, I would think that.
Yeah,
I don't
because
know.
I feel like the Scream era movies were second wave.
Exactly. So it has that second wave slasher vibe. I'm going to go ahead and coin that phrase. It's shot kind of dreamy like that Town That Dreaded Sundown remake, you remember?
Mm, I liked it.
But it's not quite as high budget as that. Not a problem. Although I say it's definitely silly and stupid, it gets super brutal at points, which is kind of fun. And it's kind of disarming to bounce between the tones, which I think a lot of people could find off-putting.
I like it. If something's going to be funny, it should be brutal too.
Cal Penn is over the top obnoxious. I don't know exactly who he's drawing from, but the only person I could think of is like a younger Terry Richardson. You know that photographer?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a creepy dude.
Yeah, the one that takes pictures of Miley all the time.
Did Miley
get married to Liam last
week?
I'm not talking about that at all. Cool masks, you guys. We have spooky masks in this film. Have you seen Leslie Vernon?
No, and it's on Shudder right now.
Oh my God, check it out. You guys both haven't seen that?
No.
And although this doesn't come out until April 1st, the critics haven't been super nice to it. But I say, if you're into dumb, violent films that feel kind of familiar, you should probably check it out.
Yeah, that sounds
I like
definitely
all those things.
More for you
dumb,
too
violence,
than for
and
me.
Familiarity.
Yeah, why not? It, like I said, in the chest. I also saw the Cabin Fever remake.
Oh, you did it,
Oh,
huh?
You watched it without us.
I'm sorry. We weren't going to do it for the show, so I thought I'll just give it a watch.
And?
Once again, I'm going to read the provided synopsis because so far they've been pretty good.
Okay.
The story is familiar. Wink. That was me winking. Fresh out of...
Hold on, that wasn't the article winking?
No, they didn't wink, but I imagine maybe they were trying to.
Okay.
Fresh out of college, a group of five friends retreat to a remote cabin in the woods for one last week of partying, only to become snacks for a gruesome flesh-eating virus. What's surprising are the ingenious new deaths, which offer a fresh spin on a horror comedy milestone. I'm going to go ahead.
Fresh spin.
And disagree immediately.
Okay, so it's not fresh. Is it spinning, though?
I don't know if it was spinning.
I disagree with milestone.
Sure. But let's be nice. This is probably the most unnecessary remake in horror history, right off the bat.
Okay.
Granted, in regards to the original, Sam, I know you might disagree, and my glasses are currently rose-colored when I speak about this film. I liked the original. I thought it was a fun movie. I thought writer Strong did a really good job.
It was fine.
But the acting in this is incredibly weak. And I was just talking about a movie called The Girls in the Photograph, which is also terribly acted, but it had charm. It worked. This, unfortunately, did not. It feels like it was written by someone who knows absolutely nothing about young people. And since they shot from the original script, it makes me rethink the original and especially the writing of Eli Roth. I mean, what has Eli done in the past couple of years that has given me any hope in his abilities?
I'm drawing a blank here.
Yeah, there we go.
It wasn't Green Inferno.
No, it wasn't. I don't want to trash it too much because it does look fine and there's some pretty cool blood pukes. It's just part of what I like.
Fright Day loves blood pukes.
I don't like blood pukes, but the point is this is a movie that we have known for a long time exactly what it was going to be. I'm trying to figure out why you're classifying it as the most unnecessary horror remake. Is it an issue of how recently the original was made?
That's part of it.
Okay.
And there just never should have been a remake because the first one wasn't that great.
Isn't the point of a remake to provide something fresh and relevant?
It's or maybe if he thought that he could have done better with the first one, he thought he'd give it another go.
He didn't direct it. He pawned it off to someone else. I don't even know their name. I don't have it written down.
Oh.
But
sounds like
point,
a cash grab.
It's quite possible. I don't think it worked very well. It just went to VOD. I have no idea.
I bet it still made money.
I mean, there wasn't much to this movie. I just say that if you're going to remake a movie, it has to have something new to bring it to a new generation. That's the whole point. This was so much of the same thing, just worse.
So you're telling us to skip
it. Skip it.
Skip it!
I say wait for this other movie that's kind of similar in tone, The Girl in the Photograph.
Okay.
I'm also still loving American Crime Story. I know it's not horror. I just think that show's really good.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, but that's all I watched this week.
You watched a lot. What do you mean all? That was huge.
It was just two films and a show.
Huge!
Oh, what? What are you doing? Now, please stop the noises.
I'm sorry. They're just noises. And I just need to share them.
Are you trying to segue into your apartment right now?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I need to share the noises.
All right. Well, let's talk about a weird noise in a small Oregon town in this week's edition of Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
Undeniably, that is a painful, painful noise.
Yeah, I didn't like
painful it. Noise. Quickly, before we go into the story of that miserable noise that you just heard, we're going to talk a little bit about Forest Grove, the adorable little community that is being plagued by that auditory pollution. Little town, very confused town, I might add. It's in Washington County in Oregon State.
Already confusing.
Very confusing. Very confusing.
Hmm.
It's about 25 miles out of Portland. Has a cute little college there, small farm town, now it's mostly kind of bed and breakfast. About 25,000 people that live there. It is increasing in population, probably because of Portland's growth, I would imagine. Nothing super crazy that I could find has ever happened here. There's an interesting ghost story, which I may go into at the end if I have time, just kind of tying to some of the creepiness in Forest Grove. But essentially, it's a little town, has been around for a while. It has, like I said, the small college in it. But we don't have any of crazy populations like around here. There are some white supremacists that are north of here. There's some crazy groups that might be held accountable if something weird happened. This is just kind of a quiet, sleepy little place. So when this noise started happening, as far as I can tell, near the beginning of February.
Of this year.
Yeah, the first reports of it came out about the second or third week of February, but it said at that point that the noise had been going for a little while. Basically, it's keeping people awake. It is driving animals crazy because the specific frequency of it sounds like it's apparently even more painful for animals than it is for humans.
Ugh.
It strikes at all times of the day and night. And it can last anywhere from 10 seconds to several minutes. Can you imagine being in a place where you can't make that noise go away and it's going for minutes on end?
And how loud is it?
Really loud. But the weird thing is, it's very, I don't know what kind of a sound this would be called. I'd need an auditory specialist to define this for me. But the way it's being described, you can only hear it if you're in the location that it must apparently be coming from. If you get very far away, the noise disappears very, very quickly. It doesn't have a wide reach, but it's very, very harsh for those near the epicenter, I guess would be the best way to put it. The Washington Post even did an article on this madness. The fire marshal of Forest Grove spoke with Washington Post and confirmed, obviously, it's a horrendous noise. It isn't just crazy people that have heard this. Very, very broad-ranging members of the community have reported it, including some of the police officers and firemen who are also investigating it, trying to figure out what the hell's going on.
Oh my God. Sorry, I just read something.
What'd you read?
So in the 1990s, the TV show Nowhere Man was shot here.
Okay. I wish I knew that song. I'd sing it right now.
The tagline is a global conspiracy.
We'll see about that. Most of the time it comes at night, although it has been recorded during the day as well. As you can tell, it sounds almost mechanical in nature.
At least metallic.
Yeah, it's very, very, very strange. There are a lot of different theories that have been thrown out there. And interestingly, almost every single one of them has been disproven.
So far.
Yeah, up to this point at least.
Well, it's only been a month, right?
So gas leak.
Gas leak.
Which actually does sound somewhat logical. However, the Northwest Natural, which is the gas company in the area, has literally had technicians out searching everywhere for a leak. They haven't found anything. But furthermore, a representative from the company said a leaky gas line would sound much more like a tea kettle.
Yeah.
And the smell would be unmistakable, obviously.
Are they fracking?
No. No. Okay. Yeah. Nothing that could possibly be tied to the gas lines. The next thought was railroad tracks, because it almost sounds like it could be some crazy squeaking railroad track.
Maybe like a train dragging a cart right. that has its brakes on.
No nearby railroad tracks to where the noises are coming up. Okay. So the next is commercial fire or smoke alarm. There's an alarm going off. Like it could be that, right? So the fire department and the police department have literally canvassed the whole town trying to find any possible fire alarm. They have not found anything.
What if it was like a leftover air raid siren?
That, I suppose, could be. It doesn't sound the same to me, but maybe it could be.
I want an air raid siren.
It just seems strange for it to be going off at all these random times.
My birthday's in August.
I'll keep it in mind.
Thanks.
At this point, they are getting so many calls that emergency services in town have asked people to stop calling to report the noise because there are so many calls. They've also noted that they do not believe that it poses a health risk.
Well, it is just a sound.
Hopefully. So one more possible culprit. There is a Department of Forestry at the college in town, Pacific University. Residents have speculated that the sound could possibly have something to do with the Department of Forestry, primarily because in many of the cases, it sounds like it's originating from somewhere in that agency's vicinity. But crews were tested, their equipment was tested, and basically they found nothing. And it was determined that there wasn't anything going on the Department of Forestry.
What are they thinking is going on with the Department of Forestry?
Well,
that
I think
their machines making noises?
Something with machines. And I think basically because they were one of the larger facilities nearby, some of the sounds that have been witnessed.
Sure.
But the sounds keep moving. And in fact, there's a physics professor at Pacific University who has started tracking the sounds and letting people report them on a Google map, which we'll post a link to.
On frightday.com in the show notes of this episode.
It's pretty wild how many there are. And when you think about, certainly not everybody who has one is reporting it to this professor. So God knows how many there are. But even the ones that have been reported, the numbers are kind of huge. There's definitely something going on. It's not people's imagination.
I think it's a lumberjack class.
A lumberjack class?
Yeah.
Really?
Like people from Portland, they're like, I want to take my lumberjackery to the next level. And
I mean, I've got
lumberjackery?
The plaid and the beard.
Yeah, they got it, two parts, and they're like, let's sharpen this axe. And they just have one of those axe grinding things.
I don't think that's what it is.
A platform from the original.
It's a little loud.
Remember the original Purge? How that neighbor's like, hey, buddy.
And they're just going, Paul Bunyan's.
Paul Bunyan's? Like a giant Paul Bunyan?
Yeah, so it would have to be a big one to make that much noise.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Is there a chance it's tectonic plates? Are they getting any sort of
No seismic readings whatsoever.
Yeah. Huh.
So I started digging really far, trying to figure out, okay, what the hell could this be? Obviously, because I'm Kelly, I started looking at, are there any ghosts in the area?
Wait, that's where you go with this?
Well, I don't know. If Sam were a ghost and he were really trying to piss people off, couldn't you see Sam creating a noise like that?
Yeah, he would do a lot of things.
Yeah, see, there you go.
That sounds like a lot of work.
There's this ghost named Vera, who supposedly haunts Pacific University. Basically, the idea is that she haunts the Night Hall, Night with a K, and plays tricks on people inside by flipping the lights on and flipping the lights off.
Typical ghost stuff.
Typical ghost stuff. Nothing super scary. She seems to be pretty jovial, truthfully.
More on the poltergeist side?
Yeah, well, yeah, and not an ill-spirited spirit, if you will. There is a psychologist who's confirmed that Vera is a good spirit. There is a priest who's blessed the building just to, you know, play everything on the safe side. But it is very, very frequently reported that lights switch on and off. People see shapes and orbs. Basically, Vera's become kind of this local celebrity. So it doesn't sound like this is somebody who would necessarily have anything to do with creating a wretched, miserable, horrible noise. So there was another cool story that I found about kind of a historical ghost dating back further than Miss Vera at the university. This is an angry spirit, though. Ooh. So this sounds more in line with something that possibly could be creating a really bothersome noise. According to legend, there is the specter of an old angry man who lurks in the woods near Forest Grove. Apparently has been associated with actually multiple deaths.
Wait, what?
I like this.
In theory, what he does is actually beats the shit out of people when they come into the woods where he doesn't want them. So the history of the town, it was settled by European immigrants in the 40s. I mean, it was a pretty chill place. Obviously, as many places in the West were, there was a native tribe that was pretty much chased out. The Tualatin branch of the Kalapuya Indians. I apologize profusely for mispronunciation. But the settlers kind of ran them out of the area. A few families started settling there. And before long, there was a little community. There was a school for children. And then the first railroad came in 1869. Finally was incorporated into a town in the 1870s. But very shortly thereafter, these stories started popping up of this really angry guy in the woods. It's difficult to say whether the origins were actually some specific individual person or whether it was just the standard, you know, don't go in the woods or else folklore that came out.
But we had real casualties here.
Yeah. Again, according to stories that have been passed on through the community and through generations, people would go into the woods and even if they didn't disappear or die, they would come out with bruises on their skin and they would say that they were attacked by an unseen presence. They couldn't see what was attacking them, but something really was physically causing them harm. And that was very evident when they came out of the woods and were covered in actual physical injuries.
It was Bill Cosby.
Ooh.
Oh, Sam.
We should do an episode on Bill Cosby.
No, we should not.
But he's a ghoul.
Yeah. No.
Are these reports your standard, I got drunk and went in the woods and came out?
No, I mean, it sounds like it's a fairly large assortment of people and it's happened over a long enough period of time, like decade and a half.
Sure.
Pardon me, a century and a half.
Oh, even more of a sure.
Obviously, there are paranormal investigators that have come and checked it out and have sensed presences in the woods, but it's difficult to track because there aren't very official records tied to these early disappearances and supposed deaths, but it is a topic that's discussed in the community pretty frequently. And I know it's kind of a leap to say that a ghost would have something to do with that crazy noise, but after all the explanations that I saw ruled out, I really don't know where else to go. So it's a little bit scary to think that it could be this angry ghost doing something perhaps horrible in the woods that's causing these noises.
You know what else lives in the woods of the Pacific Northwest?
What?
Grizzly bears?
No.
Are you going to talk about our good friend?
Sasquatch?
Yes! I don't know if I told you guys this, but Sam got me this amazing Sasquatch necklace for Christmas, and it's my lucky charm now, and I have a necklace that has Nessie and Sasquatch on it, and it makes me really happy.
All right, you're getting sleepy over there.
So my point was...
Yeah, anyhow, the point is...
It could be Sasquatch
calls. It
could
be, but does that... No.
Sasquatch is angry at his traditional territory.
Do we need to play what a Sasquatch call sounds like?
No.
What I mean, not all Sasquatches are the same, Kelly.
No, but there's a pretty common core sound.
Maybe it's a juvenile
calls.
Sasquatch and it has a much higher pitched vocalization. Yeah.
What if it's a Sasquatch with one of those bone things from Bone Tomahawk?
Ooh, oh yeah, God, I didn't. Man, wasn't that creepy? Funny. I didn't even think about that. That actually is terrifying.
A Sasquatch with a bone whistle embedded in his neck. Okay,
I'm not talking about it being Sasquatch, but like the bone thing is pretty creepy.
Yeah, right, or it's Sasquatch with the bone thing.
Grim. The other explanation that I've seen is something called a water hammer.
Okay. Oh,
a water hammer. Yeah.
Sam, are you familiar with water hammers?
I am familiar with water hammering, yes.
Okay, so all I can understand about it, I did some brief research, but some type of a pressure surge that's caused when a fluid, which is usually a liquid, sometimes a gas, is forced to stop or change direction suddenly. So like when a valve closes at the end of a pipeline system, it can cause one and it makes some crazy noises. Is that in line with your understanding of a water hammer, Sam?
I've only experienced it inside the house, you know, underneath a sink. It sounds like hammering, though. It doesn't sound like.
Right. And it's not going to be going on for weeks.
No.
So I feel like we're kind of at a point now, which I can only imagine how frustrating it is to be these townspeople. So all of these interviews with the police officers and the firefighters, they're really frustrated. They've investigated everything that they can think of to investigate. They cannot find the source of it, and it's not stopping. So at the end of the day, I feel like we probably need to make a road trip to Forest Grove to try and hear the noise ourselves.
Again, with the road trips.
I'm sorry. I just feel like it's close enough that we could get there. Maybe we should send Alex down.
We could let Alex, one of our contributors, in on the situation this town's having and see what he has to say as a reporter.
That would be great.
So, hey, go hang out until the sound happens and then tell us why it's making the sound.
Okay, but seriously, if we have anybody listening who's in the area and you've heard it yourself, or you have any indications of what this could be coming from, we'd love to hear from you.
At Kelly Fright Day on Twitter.
And the clearly other thing, we're not afraid of insane theories.
No,
at,
we're not.
At Fright Day.
But the other thing to keep in mind is, you guys know, and we've talked about this a little bit before, though I've never done a full episode on it, there are these types of weird noises that pop up kind of all over the place.
Sure.
Forest Grove doesn't have a corner on this market.
There's always unexplained sounds.
Absolutely. And so I think that there's something bigger that we need to look into, possibly something to do with a physical shift that's going on. Something could be mechanical. It could be something with invisible aircrafts flying. It could be something to do, as you said, Byron, with tectonics, with, mm-hmm. you know, interior of the earth. Maybe there's something going on because it's a hollow earth and there are actually noises that are being broadcast from below. Like, it could be the reptilians down there that are just driving us crazy.
You're getting sleepy.
Yeah. In all seriousness, I do think this is an interesting story because it has been reported very widely and there are no viable conclusions at this point. Kind of everything's been turned upside down. One of the last pieces I read had an interview with a guy, Tobin Cooley, who's an audio expert, and he was hired by some of the journalists that are investigating this to basically try and figure out, like, tell us what the hell this is. He said it's a highly unusual noise, and basically because you can't predict when it's going to happen, and it has a length of time, each noise that varies, those are very strange features, and he said nothing he can think of would explain it either, though obviously investigation is ongoing. So the poor people have been hearing this noise for over a month now. If I were living there, I can't even imagine how bananas this would be driving me. Especially, can you imagine if you had little kids and like woke them up in the middle of the night every night, woke up your dogs, everybody was barking, going crazy every night? We will definitely keep our eye on this, but any theories that anyone has, please send our way. The coolest part about the story is something that I found right before we went on air tonight, which is, this isn't the first time that these noises have appeared in Forest Grove. Apparently it happened. All we can find is decades earlier. Even at that point, they never found the source of it. They just eventually stopped. So of course, one of the things that comes into my mind are horror movies like Jeepers Creepers, where there's something that happens like every 30 years, you know?
Need enough eyes.
Something's awake.
Yeah, so something's awake. It is funny, Sam, you'd appreciate this. Some of the articles are referencing the fact that this could be the call of Cthulhu.
Well, of course it's the call of Cthulhu. He's stirring.
Could be that, and a ghost train are the most fun theories in my mind.
A ghost train?
A ghost train.
All right.
Yeah, why not?
Let off those ghost brakes. Let people sleep.
But the good news is, for the residents of Forest Grove, it sounds like a leaky water main or a gas line that is about to blow. Those have been ruled out. So from a danger perspective, that's at least a little bit comforting.
Could just be a sea monster.
Yeah.
I would love it.
It could be an upset, wakeful elder god. That's great.
Oh, that's what Cthulhu is.
No. I mean, I love you guys and I love Cthulhu, but I don't think that's what
it is. Think it's clearly a ghost train.
I mean, I would say that a ghost train I find to be a more viable option than Cthulhu, but who knows?
Thank you so much, Kelly, for that report.
You're so welcome. Please keep us posted if you hear anything. And obviously, because Kelly likes to report both sides of things, if we find a rational explanation for this,
you'll hear it.
We will bring it back and update you then.
Kelly, you forgot to talk about one other theory.
Right. Before we sign off, this is something we were talking about, which just came up tonight as we sat down to watch an interesting film. I had never pondered the possibility before in all my research with Forest Grove that maybe these were sounds coming directly from hell.
Like the hell noises that the Russians discovered when they drilled that gigantic borehole in the Arctic?
Yeah.
Now, I've got a clean copy of it now, and I warn you, this could scare you. Here's the email. Dear Art Bell, I just recently began listening to your radio show and could not believe it when you talked about the sounds from hell tonight. My uncle had told me this story a couple of years ago, and I didn't believe him, like one of your listeners who discounted the story as nothing more than just a religious newspaper fabricated account. The story about the digging and hearing of the sounds from hell is very real. It did occur in Siberia. My uncle collected videos and so forth on the paranormal, supernatural. He passed away fairly recently, but he would have loved your show. He let me listen to one of the audio tapes that he had on the sounds from hell in Siberia, and I copied it. He received his copy from a friend who worked at the BBC. It took me a while to find it tonight, but attached is that sound from my uncle's tapes. It's not the greatest quality, but the sounds are there. I was very hesitant to send you this, as the sound bothers me to listen to. I'd suggest that if you do play it on the program, warn listeners in advance so they may have the option of turning the radio off for 30 seconds while it plays. It has always haunted me. To those who discounted the Siberia sounds from hell story, it is true, and I, for one, wish it wasn't. Rick, listening from Chicago. And so I submit now they cleaned a better copy to you, and I warn you, what you are about to hear is very disturbing indeed.
Noises that five very unlucky cops happened to stumble upon in Baskin.
Let's review Baskin.
Let's.
Hope you're enjoying your visit here this evening. Now, on with the show.
Baskin is a 2016 Turkish horror film written and directed by Can Evrenol. Sam, could you tell us what this movie's about?
Five cops working the graveyard shift in the middle of nowhere are dispatched to investigate a disturbance. Isolated and without backup, they find themselves confronting a labyrinthine ruin. Pushing even further into the depths of the lair, it becomes clear they have stumbled into the darkest pits of a terrible evil. A squalid and blood-soaked den of ritual led by the Father, the master of all their nightmares, who will plunge them ever deeper down the rabbit hole and into the very mouth of madness.
Super metal.
That's an Iron Maiden song right there in the synopsis.
I was actually oddly excited about this, and when I look back, I can't figure out why I was, because there's nothing about this that would indicate oh, this is a Kelly movie.
It's a lot of buzz.
I don't get down with buzz necessarily. I mean, it was very obviously going to be very gory.
Yes.
And it was going to be very foreign.
It was extremely foreign.
Extremely.
I agree.
And it was pretty
you
misogynistic.
You are such an ugly American.
Pretty misogynistic. And you could tell that from the previews even that it was going to be. And so why did I go into this thinking like, wow, this is going to be awesome? I even had one of my girlfriends come watch this with us because I'm like, hey.
She didn't watch it.
Well, there was a point at the movie where she and I definitely checked out, which I'm not going to give away. But I will say that the story structure I found very interesting. Can't give any of it away again because it is definitely a spoiler.
I bet we'll dead give some of it later in the show.
But I thought, though slightly more confusing than it needed to be, was pretty interesting and unique. And I thought some of the acting pieces were good. I thought some of the acting was pretty mediocre, but I thought some of it was very, very good. I suppose I have to give props to the special effects.
There you go.
I mean, the gore effects were extreme.
But was it palatable for you? Because it's a wet film.
To me, it's not even the presence of the gore that bothered me in the last third of the movie. It was what was the purpose behind the presence of the gore? Still never quite understood, first of all, why our main character was being punished.
And when we're going to talk about names a little bit, it's very hard for us to pronounce these Turkish names.
I don't want to ruin it. I feel bad.
Because we're fucking idiots.
Adva.
Ardva?
Arda.
Arda. Sorry. Aardvark.
That's
so
worse.
Arda, our main character, is seemingly quite a good guy.
One of the only.
I would say the only.
Sure.
So I'm still really unclear as to why this bad shit happened to him. And I don't understand, like, when they first entered the building, what exactly we were seeing.
In this building is a abandoned police station that they know something has gone wrong in.
Yes, well, they've gotten a call out to it. And I also don't understand why when their van drives into the river.
Sure.
Why doesn't that change their trajectory for the night? Like, why aren't they going, God, we probably shouldn't go on this call out. We just crashed the van into the river. We probably should maybe like head back to police headquarters and regroup ourselves.
That is an interesting point.
I think the clear answer to that is because they're drawn by something they don't understand.
Coolest
force.
Part of this movie. Actor that played father. I don't know who the dude was.
Leader of a black mass.
Mehmet Karagoğlu? Karagoğlu?
Right. Sure, close.
I don't know who he was, but he was interesting. I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
When they stumble upon this black mass, and even before they see the actual mass, and there are these like...
The gypsies.
The gypsies weren't the black mass.
No, you said even before.
Right, so we've got the gypsies, and those are kind of the last normal looking humans we see.
Close.
And then we've got these... Feral hills have eyes folk.
Hills had eyes.
Yeah, good point. Good
sure.
point.
Thank
good
you.
Point. Was there anything supernatural there, or were these all flesh and blood creatures?
I gotta say, I mean, there's a major spoiler at the end of this movie that I think can answer a lot of your questions.
Okay, so that would mean you think, okay.
Is that the question you were asking?
Yeah, that's fine.
Sure.
I'll take that, I guess.
That'll make sense later in the show if you don't want to join us for that segment. Sam, what do you think of this movie?
Without telling you what I think about this movie.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you what I thought about this movie. I really liked it.
Good.
They did a really remarkably good job setting the stage with the characters. You very rapidly come to revile these police officers. They are not nice people.
Almost aggressively at the beginning.
Yeah, like Kelly said, they're misogynistic. They're just crude, nasty, nasty people.
And with one exception.
Sure.
Yeah, the main character is Arda. Kind of a naive.
I don't know if he's a rookie, but he's definitely hasn't been worn down like the rest of these officers.
As the movie progresses, you're kind of faced with this interesting quandary of how to feel about what, and it's not giving too much away to say, bad things happen.
Absolutely, I wouldn't.
And you're faced with this. How do you feel about that when people who clearly have done so much harm in the world are being subjected? I mean, is it?
Let's be honest. I mean, there's a big difference between doing severe harm in the world and just being a bad person.
Yes.
I don't know what these people have done. I guess you can kind of assume that they've done worse things than that.
I think they've done pretty bad things. Even the things they talk about are pretty bad.
I think they've ruined lives.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah. So anyway, it was just an interesting existential debate for me, I guess, to determine how I was feeling about these things. I thought that the acting was phenomenal for that exact reason. And obviously we're relying on the subtitles because we don't speak Turkish for the dialogue, but the acting was great. And the film looked wonderful. It reminded me a lot of any of the new wave of French horror.
Oh, I completely agree.
The color and the lighting.
Definitely. French new wave. Beyond what it looked like, which is fantastic, I thought it sounded even better.
Ooh, yeah.
The sound design was so in your face, well, more like in your ear, but very apparent and effective.
The sound was elevated above the ambient pretty significantly. In a very emphatic and effective way, I thought.
It almost turns it into like a fantasy movie in a weird way. It takes it out of reality so much by adding these elements that are so surreal.
That's funny that you would say that, because I, at times, almost got a Pan's Labyrinth vibe.
I've never seen Pan's Labyrinth, and you can yell at me. I'm at Byron McCoy on Twitter.
Is this the face of a person who routinely yells at you for anything, Byron?
I can't tell.
The other end of the table, that is something else entirely.
Don't yell at me, Kelly.
Especially don't yell at him from across the room.
Yes, yeah, sit down in your chair.
Jesus, what are you doing?
So dark, though.
Yeah. And the score was great.
Really cool. And it bounced kind of all over the place.
Yeah, it was.
Ooh, speaking of the score, the car ride?
Yes.
Some sort of Turkish rap song, or I guess, I don't even know what that was.
It was like a Turkish ballad, and then there was a pause that allowed one of the police officers to freestyle.
One sick Turkish freestyle.
It was pretty good.
Yeah, and they loved him for it.
They did.
That was a fun little light moment. I think probably the only light moment in this movie.
It was a well, very...
The song was extremely misogynistic, but...
Thank you for acknowledging
that. Yeah. It was still a light moment. And this is a dark movie. Intensely dark.
It is. It's very, again, I would say it's almost existential. It's very, it's.
Welcome back. You're just going to sit on the microphone. Fantastic work.
Here, just, hey, if you want to just push that mic out of the way with your back.
Trying real hard.
Sorry,
and
everybody.
Then rotate it Sorry, around everybody. So you can talk into All the right. side of it.
One of the weird things that I picked up on, a lot of the philosophy that was being quoted by the father was like, borderline Buddhist mindfulness philosophy. Very strange.
Did you write down anything in particular?
You know, he was trying to talk to the different individuals to get them to understand that we are all united and that we're all one and that they are slaves to respect and admiration of power.
Okay.
And all of that kind of goes along with ego. It was just very interesting. It sounded very Buddhist.
I could see that for sure. Mm-hmm. What are you eating?
Brownie.
Jesus Christ. One thing I want to talk about is I heard Sam go, okay, now we're in hell. Because yeah. There was some levels to this movie, and I didn't know how deep they were going to go into this darkness. And
yeah.
At a certain point, I kind of hit my wall of acceptability when some sort of person with no eyes was being raped, I guess, from behind and being forced to eat.
It could have been consensual.
Yeah, and being forced to eat what I could probably assume was...
man meat.
Vomit of a man that he ate already.
Yeah.
Like regurgitated cannibalistic stew.
See, I think you're reading a lot into that plate.
It was a quick scene.
That's also an interesting thought is, I mean, it starts off and the world that these police officers inhabit is... pretty hellish.
Sure.
It's dark already. And it's grimy and it's grim and it's ruled by the law of the jungle. Again, it's its own kind of hell already. And then their descent left us questioning, is this just a really terrible reality or are they in hell?
I actually don't think we need to go into dead giveaways on this movie.
I don't think we should.
I think we should let them.
Yeah, let's leave it. I agree.
Because it's massive.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys have anything else you want to say about Baskin?
Nope.
No?
I think we've pretty well covered it.
Kelly?
Yes.
What would you rate Baskin on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest?
6.2.
6.2.
Mm-hmm.
Significant score.
Yeah. It is definitely not my kind of movie, but there were elements that were undeniably impressive. And for people who enjoy this sort of thing, like you two.
Sure.
It's good. The part that we're not going to talk about because of the dead giveaway, because it's worth just letting everybody experience it on their own, is the reason that it got a higher score. Otherwise, it probably would have been lower because this is not something that I get into. Structure of the story and particularly resolution was impressive, and I had to respect that.
Great. How about you, Sam?
I'm going to give this movie a 7.5. It was so effective. It was allegorical. It really reminded me of Dante's trip through the pits of hell in the Inferno. And he even had his Virgil to some extent. So,
that's a good point. I didn't think about that.
Again, the movie looked incredible. It sounded great. And the score bounced between Turkish top 40 ambient music to really fantastic synthy kind of dark, I don't know, electropop.
Sure.
And
Turkish freestyle raps as well.
And Turkish freestyle rap and grindcore.
I love it.
I really loved this movie. It was an impressive work, especially impressive considering that it can't have been easy to make this in Turkey.
I wouldn't imagine. I don't know many Turkish films, but I do know the ones that I've seen trailers for have been on par with the violence of this movie, which I would rate a 6.5. Some of it was a bit much. And that's odd for me to say.
Yeah, that's really odd. I'm a little worried about you, Byron.
Well, I'm a little worried about me.
Have you been hanging out with people with morals or something?
Absolutely not. None of them. No morals.
Oh, okay.
Maybe a little. But I thought this was really, dare I say, fun. It's a smart film that was well acted and well shot. It's grisly, and it's really cool to see that Dr. Satan found more work after House of a Thousand Corpses.
That was pretty funny.
A dead ringer for Dr. Satan. 6.5. And you can definitely see this movie on March 25th. It's limited theatrical with a VOD release on the same day.
On 25th.
Check it out. It's worth watching. It's a smart horror movie. It's in another language. It has to be. And that's our review of Baskin.
Woot, woot.
And thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any thoughts...
Oh, thank you.
What? I wasn't talking to you.
No, you have to listen. It's not... It's,
oh,
not
I don't being... get thanked for listening?
No.
If you have any thoughts on Baskin, let us know. At Fright Day on Twitter. Contact at FrightDay.com is our email address. Or just go to FrightDay.com and leave a note for us in the comments section of this episode. That'd be great. There's lots of cool things at FrightDay.com as well. While you're there, we've got trailers. We've got reviews for films.
We got more stuff on Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
And if you like our show and want to help, you can definitely go to Shop.FrightDay.com. We've got lots of cool things there. You can join the Academy and get a Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies pack.
Oh, they're so freaking cool.
Or you could pledge your allegiance to us at patreon.com/frightday, where you'll have access to bonus content like Kelly's first episode of, God, I have to say it every time, Captain Kelly's Cryptids and Conspiracies.
So that actually hurts.
Which you'll be getting once a month. We're not going to tease what we're doing next month quite yet, right?
Not yet.
And our pre-show hangout. You get to hang out with us before we do this actual show. You get to hear the panic while we quickly type onto these little laptops in
these
front of us.
These two idiots panic. I'm fine.
And most helpful of all, you can leave a review for us on iTunes. That's the best way to get us in front of new eyes, move us up some sort of chart, or at least get us on a chart. That'd be fun, right?
That would be so amazing.
I always wanted to be on a chart instead of just posters.
And if you leave a review for us there, send us an email, contact@frightday.com. Let us know that you are you, and we'll send you some stuff.
Cool stuff, not just any old stuff.
Yeah, or some just things, too.
Pretty cool stuff.
Some cool and some normal things you'll receive in your mailbox. Do we know what we're watching next?
I don't know. What's the plan?
Gosh,
it's not Darling yet.
Not Darling yet. We're going to talk about that next month.
I honestly thought Freaks of Nature looked hilarious.
We could watch Freaks of Nature. Let us know what you think at Fright Day on Twitter. Once again, thank you so much for listening. We're having so much fun.
We are.
A great time.
Where can we find you on the internet, Kelly?
You can find me at Kelly Fright Day on Twitter. Or you can find me by emailing me at kelly@frightday.com.
How about you, Sam?
I am at Sam Frightday. Email me, sam@frightday.com.
And I'm at Byron McCoy. Byron@frightday.com is my email address. Still, I'd love to hear who your favorite serial killer is. I'm bringing it back, you guys.
Oh, why not? I can't even fight you on it anymore.
And until next Frightday, I'm Byron.
I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sam. Hell isn't a place.